they sing it with so much of reverence. Because it's only God that is holy.
Yes.
They don't sing it careless. They don't sing it. They sing with all the sense of fear. All the sense of awe. When you are singing the holiness of God, sing it with a sense of fear before Him. So as we take that song, I want your heart to melt before us.
Yes.
You want to bow down, bow down. You want to kneel down, kneel down. Holy, holy is the Lord.
Your power,
oh God, Jesus, Yes, Lord. The only one that is holy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
He's holy in himself.
Yes.
He's holy by himself. And whatever he touches becomes holy. The ground he stands is holy. By his holiness, he has made his people holy.
Yes.
We worship the Holy God. We bow before this Holy God. The one whom alone is to be feared. All the gods of the nations, they are idols. The vanities of the works of hands of men. There is no breath in their nostrils. They have hands they can't handle. They have legs, yet they need to be carried. They have eyes, but they don't see. All they that worship them are like unto them dumb idols. We worship the only one true God. We bow to you this morning. We worship you. We thank you for how you have led us into your presence. Thank you for the time of praise and worship. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for leading us on from one degree of glory to another. Thank you for the light you have ordained for us today. Thank you for the lamp that shines in the house. Thank you for the candlestick. Thank you, Father. We just worship you. We magnify your name. We come not based on anything of our own. We come on the account of the blood of the Lamb. We come straight into your holy place on the account of the blood of the Lamb. And we lift up holy hands in your sanctuary without robes in true holiness and righteousness on the account of the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, we appropriate that blood over this assembly. Oh, those of us who are here, those who are watching by the midst of the waves, let the blood of the Lamb be a seal upon this meeting.
Amen.
Let the interest of the Father be achieved on the account of this meeting.
Amen.
Let there be an advancement in the purpose of God. Let it be recorded that because a people meet like this today, the interest of God in our lives and our land has gained a greater momentum in the spirit. Let the prayer that we are going to offer, we have offered, let them be received before you as an incense. Let the ministry of your word that you are going to give to us, let it come further to impart us with energy, spiritual energy, to walk this way. Father, we thank you. Lord, I have no strength of my own. And I don't have anything of my own. But I totally rely upon you. You are my strength. You are my light. You are my hope. Lord, have mercy and help me. Help me, O Lord, to do your will. To speak as your oracle. To speak as your oracle. Grant me unction from your throne. Overshadow me. Hide me behind the cross. Let my heart be in your hand, O Lord. Let my mouth be as a pen of ready writer in your hand. I receive your divine enabling. Lord, thank you. At the end of the day, oh Lord, let your name alone be glorified.
Amen.
Blessed be your mighty name, Father.
Hallelujah.
We go forth by the Spirit of the Almighty God. Blessed be the name of our God. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you. We receive you. Sit and throne amongst us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. The heaven is full of thy praises. The whole earth is full of your glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I thank God for my two sisters who came to speak from the prayer to my sister. They have literally just, shall I say, preached the message. You know, from Sister Mercy to Sister Anjola, they have declared exactly what one will want to say. You know, and we could just have just continued singing, worshiping God, and just close. But if I'm doing anything, it's just to put them all together so that as we leave, we can have a wholesome counsel. And if you want a title, it's going to be Praying in the Father's Will. Praying in the Father's Will. One of the statements Sister Anjola made, he said, take the time to discover how the Father will want you to do his business. Did anybody hear that statement
yes,
from us?
Yes.
Okay. Take the time to discover how the Father will want you to do his business. And our sister took us in series of prayer for the harvest, the work of the harvest. And I want to say the work of the harvest is the business of the Father.
Yes.
That's why he still left you here around. So that through you, others might come to know him. So we'll be talking about praying in the Father's will. You want to do the Father's business, it's not something you jump into with your head. It's not something you rush into. Check the history, all those who have done the business of the Father, check their history, where they started from. They start in the place of strong prayers. They are men who have been schooled, exercised by the Holy Spirit in the place of prayer. When Jesus was about to leave the scene in the book of Acts, he gathered the disciples together and he told them, well, it's time to go and win souls. It's time to go and preach the gospel all over the world. But what did he command them to do? He said, tarry in Jerusalem and pray. Until what? You'll be endued with power from on high. Because we can't do God's business by our own strength. It will fail. It won't amount to anything. So we need an empowerment. So that's why we'll be looking at praying in the Father's will. There is the Father's will. There is the Father. I use the word Father. I didn't use the word God because prayer essentially is to build intimacy, relationship. Yes, you pray to him as God. But when you get into real act of prayer, spirit of prayer, he's God, then you talk to him as a father. When intercession and supplication become really intercession and supplication, it's no longer be God, God, it's Father, Abba, Father. So he said he has not given us the spirit again to bondage, but he has given us the spirit of his son, whereby we cry what? Abba Father. When you get into real intercession, you can't even speak any word anymore. It's just going to be Father, Father. And that word is loaded. Abba Father. So that's why I put it praying in the Father's will. And I pray that, and I know all of you are already, you know, in it, but I pray that much more the revelation of the fatherhood of the God will rest upon your spirit.
Amen.
Jesus.
You will know him more and more as Father.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So we're going to be looking at the Father's will, first of all, because that is what gives us the agenda for prayer. Oh, we have been told to pray. Everybody pray, 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 pray. And there's so much of prayers. There's so much of praying going on. But how much of this prayer is meeting the Father's will? Only God can say it. And that's why we are talking to ourselves like this morning. So let's gather all the things we know about prayer. Let's put them together. Let's remove the shafts. The one that I'm not really part of him, the one that we added, the one that religious added to us, the one that we took from other sources. Let's remove all the shafts, okay? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
And let's get the real kernel of prayer, the real substance, what it means to pray. What it means to pray. Whether you are praying for yourself as an individual, you are praying for your friends, your family, there is the will of the Father. There is the boundary of prayer. There is the house of prayer. And when you pray in that house, your prayer must be answered. Are we still together? When you pray in the Father's will, there is no doubt about it. There is no go and come about it. The prayer must be answered. So if you want to move in the field of answered prayer, you want to have experience of prayer being answered, pray in the sphere of the Father's will. Don't utter prayer except to know the Father's will for anything. Except to know his will. When you are faced with anything or any challenge or anything, don't rush into prayer. Quietly discover the Father's will, and he will make it known to you. So, let's start. We go to the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. We take that. Are we there? 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 5, yes. 14 and 15. And this is what? This is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence. This is the boldness. This is the assurance that we have in him. That if we ask anything, anything you can think of, that you ask according to his will, what does he do? He heareth us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So that put prayer in a new perspective. That's why God Almighty Father is the best teacher. Are we still together? He's the best teacher. He doesn't just give us the syllabus of prayer. Oh, just take it and go and pray. He gave us the framework that will make us to excel in prayer.
Yeah.
That will make us to desire to pray. So he said, if we ask anything, and this is the confidence that we have in him, not in ourselves, not in our prayer. Not in how many hours of prayer you can utter. Oh, somebody say, I pray for 15 hours. That's okay. It's good. It's good to pray long prayer. I love it. But what you should find out is, out of that 15 hours, how many have you prayed according to His will? So if you have not prayed according to His will, what you have prayed, but you have. And that is why it's causing frustration for men. See, but we say we should pray, I have prayed. Have you heard people saying that?
Yes, sir.
Say, I pray, we pray, 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 and nothing happened. I said, keep short, keep quiet. Who told you nothing happened? Keep quiet. How do you know nothing happened? Don't rush to prayer until you have received a word. The word of God is the one that gives you the agenda for prayer. It gives you the lines of prayer. Whatever your situation, whatever you are looking for from God, whatever, whether physical, personal, spiritual, everything, you want to go to the field to preach, you want to get a better job, you want to get the word of God. Get the word of God. Get the counsel of God. Get the will of God. And that is what God worked on. So I am believing God that by the time we finish this, your prayer life is going to change. And like God said in the book of Isaiah, I think 56, verse 7, He said, my house shall be called. Just go there briefly and then we'll come back to 1 John. Even then will I bring, oh hallelujah, praise God, thank you Jesus. Because the God of the whole earth shall He be called. He's going to bring them, who? The Gentile nations. Those who are far off. Who were not part of the original seed of Abraham. God, in His mercy, had already made a place for them in His house. And what did He say about that? You can read from verse 1. Let's just go on because of we want to cover much ground today. Even them, who are the them? The outcast. The nations of the world. Those whom Abraham did not count or do not recognize. God already planned that they are going to be praying men and women. And He has arranged that He's going to answer their prayers. He said, even them will I bring. Okay, let's read from verse 1. So we can follow it through and through. Please go to verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Take note of that. It's very important. Keep judgment and do justice. Go on, verse 2. Blessed is the man that doeth this. That's why you should take note of it, because that's where it starts from. Keeping judgment and doing justice. I don't want to go into that, but if time permits, we'll talk about that. But let's move on. And the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the rest of the Lord, the Sabbath of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. That keepeth the Sabbath of the Lord, the rest of the Lord, from polluting it. And keepeth his hand from doing evil. Any evil. Go on. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. Go on, go on. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuch that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me. And take hold of my covenant. Go on. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my wall a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.
Amen.
Go on, go on. Also the sons of the stranger that joined the hallelujah, praise God, that joined themselves to the Lord to serve Him. And to love the name of the Lord, to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenant. Verse 7 now.
Even then will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer.
Hallelujah.
So it's all about the house of his prayer. Now let's read on. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called the house of prayer. For who? All people, Jews and Gentile alike. For all people, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And Jesus Christ picked this when he was driving out the people who said, you make my house to become den of thieves. My house shall be called the house of prayer.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, brother, beloved brother and sister, the house of God is a house of prayer.
Yes.
You are welcome into the house of prayer.
Amen. Yes.
What do you do in the house of prayer? What do you do in the house of prayer?
Pray.
You pray. You pray to who? To the Father who hear it in the secret. And he will answer you. There's so much of complaining in the land. There's so much of murmuring. There's so much of dissatisfaction. There's so much of stress and fear that are just not necessary. Particularly when it's coming to the house of God, which is supposed to be the house of prayer. So Jesus Christ said, why do you buy and sell, buying dove and selling this in my house? He threw them out. I pray that the Lord God Almighty is going to throw out everything that buy and sell in this house.
Amen.
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 We flush them out. The prophetic grace of God will come and flush out.
Amen.
Or flush out.
Hallelujah.
All that buy and sell. All that traffic and trade in the house of God, both particular and congregational.
Yes.
For you are a house of God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You are a house, a mobile house of God. And this house, touch your body. For your body is a temple of God. Is a what?
House of God.
What is your body called?
House of God.
What did Jesus call your body?
House
of prayer. Not the house of complaint.
That's right.
Not the house of fear. Not the house of worry and anxiety. It's a house of prayer. Because men and women will pray. And the God who answers prayer will answer their prayer.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
So quit crying and mourning. Forget about all that. What do you want? What do you want? You want a big house with whatever you want. What do you want? You want a bank full of money? You want a wife? You want children? You want what do you want? You want a new job, a big job? What do you want? And take note, I'm using what do you want. Take go now and say, what do you want? Because all the things I've mentioned, they are in the realm of want. They are not actually your need. They are all in the realm of your want. Those are the ones the Lord add to you. Those are the ones he add to you. But alas, we pursue that want. And we leave the major one. And I believe the Lord is straightening that out now.
Amen.
And you will ask me, why is it taking time? Because we're in a very critical moment in the history of the world. God is looking for prayer supply. The economy of God needs praying men and women to move his program forward. God is counting on you and me at this time to pray that his kingdom might come and that his will be done. And at the same time, too, the enemy is doing his own work to keep people away from prayers. If he doesn't weigh you down with sleep and slumber, he weigh you down with concerns and burdens and cares.
Yes.
So if you are not weighed down with sleep, you don't sleep, and wake up in the morning and feeling so tired, you just remind you to say 1 hour, 1 minute of prayer, you take your bath and go, and it continue like that. And if you are the type that, okay, you want to pray, you want to give yourself to prayer, and say, okay, this is what I want to pray, then he load you with a lot of concerns. He bring a lot of things your way to distract you. But I tell you, brother and sister, that is abundant of grace.
Amen.
That is made available to break us free from all that want to keep us from the place of prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's read Psalm 65 before we go back to 1 John. We'll go back to 1 John. Psalm 65, verse 1 to 4. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Praise waiteth for thee, O Lord, in Zion. Yes. Who are the Zion company? Yeah, we are the Zion company. Praise of the Lord waits. Praise waits for the Lord in your life. Move on, verse 2. Verse 2. O thou that heareth prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Unto thee shall all flesh come. O thou that heareth prayer. That is a title you can give to God. One that heareth prayer. His ears are attentive to prayers. He loves prayers. He looks forward to praying. But he looks forward to that prayer that accounts in his program. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to 1 John. Unto you shall all flesh come. Oh, please go. Verse 3. Iniquity prevail against me. As for the transgression, thou shalt purge them away. Go verse 4. Aha, this is the one I'm looking for. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy court. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Which house? The house of prayer. The house of prayer is full of his goodness. And when you know how to be in the house of prayer, you will never be lack of his goodness. Even of thy holy temple, thy holy mountain. The goodness of the Lord, the riches of the Lord, is abundant in his house of prayer. And I pray that the Lord God Almighty will lower his hand upon us mightily and lead us in the place of prayer. Let's go back to 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, if we pray anything according to his will, he heareth us. O thou that hearest prayer. And if we know that he hears us, if we know that he hears us. Do you know he hears you? Are you confident in him that whenever you ask anything according to his will, he hears you? Do you know that he hears you?
Oh, yes.
Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. This is our Father. So by the end of this ministration, we will joyfully pray. We will love to pray. You will not see prayer as burdensome. You will pray in and out of season. Your whole life will be a life of prayer.
Amen.
But to enter into that frame, it must be according to his will. So you must learn to discover the will of God. The book of Ephesians, we'll read that later on, but I will just paraphrase. I think that's chapter 1, verse verse 11. He said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who does what? Worketh all things. Nothing left. According to what? After the counsel of his will. All things. Nothing left out. Must be after the plan. That word counsel is the plan. Is the layout of his will, of his pleasure. So, let's go back again to that first John. Don't start praying until you have discovered the will of God. I like the way we prayed last night. My brother was praying. When we are finally praying about the election in the U.S., how did we pray?
Let the will of God be done.
That's what we should have prayed earlier on. That's what should have begun our prayer months away when they were still trying to know who is going to come in or not. Months before the election, that's what we should have prayed. Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Now, and that is like all of us, we all have our preference, sort of. We all have our, which is good. It's good. I'm not saying that's bad. We all have, something that we are inclined to based on our own calculations. And based on that, we say, okay, this is it. And if anybody here has a direct word from the Lord, a counsel from the Lord, you declared, I have prayed. And this is what the Lord is saying. This is the person. Yes, it doesn't matter. Even if they bring the wrong person there, they only bring him there for his own destruction. God will still bring back his own person. So you don't even need to fret yourself. You don't need to fret yourself. So sometimes it may not go as you think it should. But if you know the will of the Father, if you pray in line with the will of the Father, you are not moved by it. You are not moved by whatever it is. It doesn't move you. You know, it's just, he said, when you see the wicked flourishing and all that, God is only setting him up for what? For destruction. So you are not moved. You are not saying, oh, but I pray for this. Now you are not moved. So the will of the Father should be our main anchor in the place of prayer. Should be our main anchor. Anything you want to ask for, even when you come to your personal need, you want to marry, what is the will of the Father in it? What is the will of the Father in it? I was talking to one of my friends. I said, supposing God speaks to you and say, my child, it is not in my will for you to marry. I said, how do you do? He said, no. He said, no. I said, okay. That shows that many of us, we still have a long journey to go in our relationship with the Father. I said, supposing, we're talking. Supposing the Lord said to you, my son, my child, I want you to just stay with me. And I'm going to reveal great things to you in my word. Suspend. Marry.
Yes.
Until. You know that word until. You know, our brother was talking about until the other day. Until. But God will bring us to that stage.
Amen.
Where we count nothing to them. Paul said, all the things that I gave for me, I threw them into the dustbin. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Oh, are you so jacking with marriage? So better I have to quickly calm down his temperature. You know. I have to be like, say, no, don't worry. You will marry. Amen. Amen. That's the way all of us are. We all grew up from there. But in this last day, God is going to get a people that will come knocking there for them.
Amen.
And I tell you, whatever you give up for the cause of the kingdom, you will get it multiplied back. God never owes anybody. In fact, he overpays those that learn to give it up. I'm wondering what discussion went between God and Abraham about the son he's been waiting for 25 years. This is a man who is already dead. He can't produce anymore. And early in the morning, they were used to talking, you know, conversing. And that is the way it is. Just communing with the father. And the father put something in his mind. That's your son. Yeah, that's my son. Yeah, thank you very much. I know you gave him to me. I'm so grateful. The father said, oh, keep quiet first. Let me talk. Say, that's your son. Yes, Isaac, yeah. Oh, is it Ishmael? No, Isaac. Oh, Isaac, yeah. I want you to take him. Oh, great. I'm going to teach him your way. I'm going to show him your way. Say, keep quiet. Let me talk. I want you to go and sacrifice him for me. That man does not suffer a heart attack. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Hey! I'm sure, God, what did you just say? That's your son. That one. God didn't even give him any chance to make any. That very one, the one you really love, Isaac, go and sacrifice him. And what did he do? He obeyed. And that is one thing we learn in our walk in the will of God. Obedience. God does not share his will to you if he knows it's just for head knowledge. Your heart must have been worked upon to obey. Because when the will of God begins to be revealed, he's going to call for obedience to it. So, God begins to work upon our hearts to begin to give it up gradually. And we are entering into that period, the stage in which we are getting into now, brother. We need to talk very seriously to ourselves. It's not a place of playing and joking around, and this is a place of serious business with God. Time no longer. Heaven is there is urgency in the spirit. What we see, what is going on around us and all these things is an indication that the kingdom of darkness are not folding their head. They are accelerating to push themselves forward. So what would we, the children of the kingdom, do? Fold our hand? No. What we are telling ourselves this morning, this afternoon, are things that God requires for you and me. For those whom he is going to use for the rod of his strength. He said, in the day of his power, his people shall be what? Shall be willing. They will willingly offer themselves. They will give themselves up. And to those people, God reveals his will. So when you are asking for the will of God, number one, you must be ready to obey him. In fact, you must come to a point whereby nothing else matters but to do the will of the Father. The book of Psalm 40 said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. Praying in the will of the Father requires us to delight to do his will. The spirit of obedience comes upon us, and there is such passion, such delight to do the will of the Father, no matter what it costs you. That is where the boys are separated from the men. That's where you know who is who. Oh, we all love God. Oh, I love Jesus. I love you, Lord. And he loved those song. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. He loved those song. You want to hear those song. But as we are singing, he is looking at the heart. And he's poking at those things that are not making that song to reach out to him. And he's going to make requirement of it as you move on. He's going to purge us out of every idol and everything that is hindering us from being able to move. He's going to purge it off so that his house can be truly a house of prayer. Praise the name of Jesus. So, the will of the Father must be sought for and sought for diligently, because he answered only the prayer that I pray within the confine of his will. Okay, let's read that Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. We start from verse 4 and we're going straight to verse 11. We're still trying to stabilize ourselves in the act of really praying the Father's prayer. So we start reading from verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So you continue to see this, the good pleasure of his will. Everything that pertains to you, everything that pertains to your life, is all encapsulated in the will of God. It is the will of God that brought you forth. It is the will of God that make you to come to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You have already begun to walk in that will. Let's move on. Move on. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Move on, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 8. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will.
Hallelujah.
He made known unto us the mystery. There's a mystery surrounding his will. What's a mystery? A mystery is something that you only enter into by revelation. It's only given to you. He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. He said, why do you speak to them in parables? He said, because unto you, if it's not given to you, you can know it. A mystery is something that is defined for only a people. Only a people. And when you are calling to that class, you can relate to it. You can fellowship with it. Not everybody. So that will make us to make a point in the will of the Father. And this is it. There is no place for comparison. There is no place for competition. There is no place for striving. Because the dimension of his will is going to reveal to you. It's going to be different from the dimension it's going to reveal to you. But at the end of the day, all things work together to fulfill his eternal purpose. The will of God for your life is different from his. And it's different for everyone. And all that are his people in the world. So as we get accustomed to the general will which we are going to talk about, the general will of God, we must also come to terms with the specific will of God for your life. God has a will for each one of us. A plan laid out. And when you discover that will, and you consistently pray in the circle of that will, your prayer will always be answered. But if you say, Brother Nathaniel pray like this. He prayed this way. This is the way he used his tone. Me too, I'm going to use his tone. You are missing out a great deal. Oh, brother, this thing, pray for 18 hours. And when he had prayed for 18 hours, the power of God came upon him and he did wonders and he did like this. And you want to copy, you are only getting yourself mixed up. You miss your identity. and you become useless in his hands. Mm-hmm. You are striving to be somebody else. He doesn't call you to be like that.
Oh,
somebody fasted for 7 days. Therefore, I'm going to fast for 8 days so that I can get something married. Useless. Useless. I've seen people done that. And many of them end up in the hospital. Say, ah, this brother, oh, I want to go. And they couldn't end their fasting. They couldn't end it. Just because somebody else is doing it. This is the way. Oh, so let everybody go into it. That's why I keep warning you, don't follow people. Follow God. Follow Jesus. Let him be your example. Don't set any man up. Don't set any man up. Doesn't matter who he is. Particularly if you love yourself and love that man. Because what has always destroyed mighty men of God is when men begin to, this is the man of the hour. There's no man of the hour, only Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He's only the man of the hour.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, I have related to many men of God. Talk about men of God. I have interacted with them. I have related to many. And I'm still related to many, but none of them. None of them. Will I pattern my life after? Be unique. The will of God for you is unique. That is your own custom. That is your own operating system with God. It's so unique. You can't share it with somebody else. So trying to mimic or control, you are just being, he said, they that compare themselves to them, they are not wise, they are fools. And we have so many of them in the house, particularly in the court of Pentecost. Court of Pentecost is so full of mimicking, copying. Want to do this way, I want to do it that way. Who says? Where do you get that from? Be like him.
Amen.
From my early heart, by the grace of God, find out what the will of God is for my life. And I'm not beating about the bush about it. I may look like, but I know in me what the Father's will is. When I was coming into this country, if I wanted to come into Canada, would I be here? When? Many years ago. It was open. Many of my friends whom I said, I gave them, I said, many of them are already here, they came in. But it was just not part of me. What do I want to go and do there? What do I want to go and do? That's the question I keep asking myself. Is it career-wise, my career is so blooming in? This thing, apart from that, I know what God has called me out to do in the house. So why will I live? And the ministry door is open for me from north to south, from east to west. I'm not somebody that. So why will I leave Nigeria, where I have all my, and then come here? I say, God, the only reason why I'm going there is because you are sending me there as a missionary. If I'm not going there as a missionary, I am not going. That was the prayer and prayed until we landed there. I remember that early in the morning, Brother Achu's house, the house that he stayed in after when the first one was born, that place, it has a deck at the back. Early in the morning, the whole sky is open. Say, Lord, I'm your missionary in this town. Use me in this land. Use me as your missionary. Open doors of ministry. God is going to use you.
Amen.
So God has a specific will for you. Find it out. If you already see yourself, and we are discussing about the various tribes, isn't it? In the Bible study, those are very good tools for you to take you to the place of praying and asking God, God, what do you have for me? Has anyone of you asked that question from God?
Yes.
Yeah. Please ask and ask, God, what do you have for me? What will you have me do in your house? If you have not asked, and if you have asked, you have not been sure, ask again. Now, he will not come and tell you A, B, C, D, O. He will not. But he will tailor your life. The circumstances, the things you are going to come will always make you to follow the path he has ordained for you. And ask. So, let's move on. Where are we? Verse, go back to that Ephesians. And this is the, Ephesians.
Ephesians 1.
Ephesians 1, chapter 1, yes, verse
4-9.
According to his will, yes. Hallelujah. Having predestinated us, can you see that? I want you to mark that word. Having predestinated us, predestination is tied to the will of the Father. Having unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, not to any other person, according to the good pleasure of his will. Go on, verse 8. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved. The beloved of the Father. Go on, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 8. Having made known unto us the mystery, that's where we were, of his will. That is the mystery of his will. And that's what we're talking about. And that which pertains to you in the mystery of his will is different from that which pertains to me. So each one of us must take time to find out. And our finding it out determines the level of our growth in him. Just like in the house, you give birth to a child. All that the child is concerned about is feeding. You go and ask all the people, Joel's parents and Joseph and Jerusalem, they will tell you. Those children don't care anything. Food, sleep. You don't give them food, they will shout everywhere down. That's all they are asking for. They eat, and when they eat and they overeat because they are afraid whether this thing, they will start crying again. You have to carry them. They are not asking. They are not even can't ask. They say, "What? Have you done your homework? Can you imagine Papa Joel asked Joel, have you done your homework? The mother will say, what is wrong? He doesn't have any homework. Have you cleaned the toilet? Have you made your bed? He doesn't know that now. He's not interested in that. All he's interested in is, let me eat. Let me sleep. Let me eat. That is that stage in our Christian walk to me. When it's just, let me eat, let me sleep, let me eat, let me have this. And I've enjoyed that stage. I really enjoyed it. Oh yes, oh my. Those days I used to have a book. I will write out my, when I ask something from God, I will write it down. The date I ask him, the date it came to pass. So when it stopped coming to pass, I begin to get out. I say, what happened? Oh yes, I ask God this day, and I will wait to watch, pray. And the team will say, hey, God, I mark it down. This one, okay. So sometimes that will happen. It doesn't come again like that. What happened? I begin to get, I say, have I seen God? What is happening? All that God is calling for is coming to maturity.
That is it.
Take another step forward. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. That's what the Father was simply telling me. I really didn't know it much.
Hallelujah.
It's not allowed because the time will come when they will tell Joel, if you need food, go to the kitchen. Don't stop crying. And if you cry, they get and slap it. Go to the kitchen, will you? Don't you know where to go and poo poo? You want to poo poo, you are crying. And you just, they give him this thing in the brethren's way. Amen. Because he must grow. So the same thing with the Father with us. We must grow. So you begin to take something, begin to remove some things. And then you begin to get, what is happening? I begin to say, what is happening, Lord? I'm saying, I don't know, I know. But I know that he's asking me to come up. And so it is. He will make it known to us, the mystery of his will. And please take note of that which I have said. The mystery of God is so vast. The mystery of his will is so big. In fact, that's the book of Ephesians put it in, I think in chapter 3. He said, by the church to make known to the principalities and power the many dimension, the manifold wisdom of God. The many dimension. There are many dimensions to the mysteries of God, his will. And each one of us will have a dimension unique to you and me. So find it out. We are many, but you are unique. Say, I'm unique.
I'm unique.
And I'm going to find out
under God
what God has for me.
What God has for me.
And I will do his will. Don't forget to say that about yourself every day. Lord, I will do your will. Say it with your mouth.
Lord,
I will do your will.
Lord, I will do your will.
Say it every day. Over yourself. Lord, today I will do your will.
In the mighty name.
When you release it, there are agencies that go forth to execute that word.
Amen.
So when you come in instead of this thing, they make sure that you walk in the line to fulfill his will. So say it every day. So the mystery of his will. According to what? According to his good pleasure, which he had what? Proposed in himself. Hallelujah. He didn't consult with anybody. He didn't say, oh, Angel Gabriel, come. Angel Michael, come. Let's talk. I want to talk about this child. No. It was in himself. In himself. And when it comes to the matter of redemption and the bringing you into the fullness, and when it comes to the matter of your welfare, it's all about in himself. 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 So he proposed this in himself, by himself, through himself, with himself. Nobody counseled him. So if you want to find it out, go to him. Relate to him. So let your prayer every day be, Lord, show me thy will. Teach me thy will. Cause me to delight in thy will. Let me find it in the things you allow me to go through, circumstances of life, and those are the things, all the challenges you are going through, please don't take them for granted. Don't ever think it's the devil. Many times we give the devil so much laxity that he doesn't deserve. And then we begin to bind and dizzy. No. It's not the devil.
Hallelujah.
I have been in it, so I know what I'm talking about.
Hallelujah.
And when the more you begin to see the devil, the more the fear level begin to increase.
He magnifies himself.
But when you come to know that everything about you has been predetermined, predestinated. Predestined. The Bible says he has predestined you. You are not a creature of chance. You are not a chance occurrence. Some bang thing just happened, bam, and then no. God has detailed. He told Jeremiah, he said, while you were your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you a prophet. He said, don't say I'm a child anymore. I knew you when you were your father's womb. In your father's mother's womb. I knew you when you were your father's womb. He knew you. He knew you. He knew what, and he knows your heart more than you do.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Or you think, oh, my heart. He knows your heart more than you do. And somebody who knows your heart, what are you supposed to do to that person? Move close to that person. Move close to that person. Because he knows. When Peter came and said, Lord, don't worry. If it is death, I'm going to die with you. Settle down. You will deny me. You don't know me. I'm sure Peter will. I know that man lied right there. You don't know me. Me denying you. God forbid. Jesus knew his heart. He knows your heart. There's no pretense.
Hallelujah.
Don't try to be. He knows your heart. So just come to him in that heart. This is me, Lord. That's what I do. Lord, this is me. This is me. You know me more than I know myself. You know what I will do in this situation, but help me to do thy will.
Amen.
Said, I have come to do thy will, O God. As it is written of me, where? In the volume of the book. Oh, you think that is for Jesus Christ alone?
No.
Each one of you are written in the volume.
Hallelujah.
You have a part, you have a passage, you have a paragraph, a chapter. Some of you have a whole book written of you in the volume of the book. When Moses and all of them, when Joshua and Caleb were doing all the things they were doing, they didn't know that the whole chapter would be written about them. They didn't know that the whole chapter is going to be written. And I'm sure if they had known, some of them would have changed. When Achan was doing Magomago and was trying to do, he didn't know that the chapter was going to come and be written about it. And we are reading about it today. A whole chapter is being written about you. Some a whole book. Some a whole volume of book is being written. And it doesn't matter. What is important is that be in that book. And have a positive record in that book.
Hallelujah.
That's what matters. Yes. Doesn't matter what you are before men. Or they like you, they don't like you, they want you, they don't like you. Be in that book.
Hallelujah.
Be in that book. Yes. That's the little book. And only the lamp of God is worthy to open that book. Hallelujah. It's the book of your life. The unfolding of the plan of mystery, the mystery of redemption towards you. According to his purpose. Everybody say, according to his purpose.
According to his purpose.
According to his purpose. According to his purpose.
According to his purpose.
It is his purpose, not your own. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has a purpose. And is driving through that purpose. Everything you go through in life, whether you classify it as good or you classify it, it's all, the Bible says, he worketh all things. After, that's why he can also say, all things work together for good to them that love him and are the call according to what? His purpose.
Hallelujah.
All things work together for good. Nothing left out. What am I trying to communicate to you? I'm trying to communicate to you that sense that, look, I am in God's purpose.
That's it.
I am not a chance event. There is a predestination upon my head. There is something determined for me. I am walking in line with what is written of me in the volume of books. Whatever comes my, whatever challenge, whatever this thing, is all part of it. It's all part of it. The devil is not orchestrating anything.
No.
Please, let's rule out that personality. Let's remove him from all our discussion. The devil, where is the devil when God was planning your redemption? Where was the devil when God was calling you, when the lamb was being slain from the foundation? Did you know there was a death before death? Where was the devil? And now he come and then we now want to give. Let me tell you one thing. When you are born again, the devil, I said it before and I'm going to say, the devil is just a dummy variable.
He is.
Is a dummy variable. What is a dummy variable? It's an analytical word that you use in mathematics that makes you to know that when the dummy variable, the devil doesn't affect the answer. The answer will still come out the way without that thing. God has reduced him to that level. I want to emphasize on that because we have given so much laxity to the devil and we need to take it away. Are we still together? We need to take it away. Now, when you are praying for yourself over something, don't bring the devil into the equation. Don't bring demon, don't bring witches, don't bring them into the equation. Speak to God directly. Even if it is the devil doing it, don't worry yourself. Mm-hmm. Concentrate on God.
Hallelujah.
In the place of fellowshipping with God, communicating with him, fellowshipping with him, if you need to speak any word, because he will give you that word. And when that word comes, there's no devil that can stop it. He can't stop it.
At all.
But when you try to kick it yourself, the more you kick it, the more bigger it is.
Yes. It's an uphill task.
So when the devil is speaking or is trying to agitate some word and all that, don't be frizzled, don't be distant. Just calm down. Calm down and set your mind upon the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Meditate
Glory.
On him. Meditate on him. Meditate on him. Meditate on him. Meditate on his word. And suddenly there will arise something in your spirit. It will just come from your spirit. You may not even refer to the devil. You may just be a worship.
Hallelujah.
And that settles it. So he's of no consequence. Because many people have built a prayer life around the devil.
Yes,
sir. The devil is removed, they have no prayer anymore. Once they have their bread, they have their sugar, they have their meat, they have everything going on, families, everything is well. They don't have prayers to pray. You know. When everything is good, family is doing well, business is prospering, there's money in the bank account, we have good cars, and then many people don't have prayer anymore. They just write to the pastor, please give thanks to God for that. We want to share testimony. Good God, goodness of God in our life. God is so good. You know. Know anything pushing them into the kingdom. So they come and want to show off. Yeah, we are the people. No eternal value.
At all. Emptiness.
But I tell you that I have people. Whether they are poor or they are rich. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be there with content. He said, I have learned to abound and to abase.
Hallelujah.
That
glory.
Is the kind of people God is raising up.
That's it.
I have learned that in whatever state I am to be there with content. He said, for we bring nothing into this world and we take nothing away. Nothing matters.
Thank you, Father.
And those are the kind of things God, those are the kind of people that God is drawing to himself. Who have looked at everything and counted but dung. All the things that this one, true to it. You see all these things? All these things you are seeing? Please, don't even look at them. They are all coming down.
They're coming down.
They are already coming. They are just trying to keep it in so that everybody will be. They are all coming down. They know it's already failed.
Rubble. Yes,
they know. They know. But they will not let you know. That's why if you want to buy a house, please ask God very well.
Yes, sir.
You want to enter into any mortgage, please ask God very well. I'm not saying you should not buy it, but ask God. Ask God. Are you not going to ask God?
Yes,
because everybody now. Brother Lambaja has bought a house and he bought it in Point Street, or what do they call it?
South
Point. Uh-huh. This one has bought. So everybody, you know. And then you buy it and then you don't have the rest of mine. What is the use?
It's like a noose around your neck.
What is the noose? What is the use? You just tie it to somebody. But if God said buy it, quiet and buy it. Quiet. He will pay for it. He has tied to the economy of heaven. He will supply it. Pay for it. But if he said, because brother, the family, this idea, I want to go and buy it, you will entrap yourself. The bank has approved me for loan for how many years now? I need to know if God wants me to. I need to know. Somebody say, Brother Sammy said this thing. Do you know how old I am now? To this time, to be piling a budget of hundreds of thousands for myself, or where? Pay it month by month. When I'm ready, I pack my bag and go bye-bye. But I'm praying. If God said tomorrow, go ahead, I will go. Because it's not. Because I've not come here to serve myself.
Yes.
I've not come here to live. What? People talk about Canada. Thank God for the land. I love the land. I love this thing. But it's not the street of the land.
At all.
Or the goodness of the land that prompts some of us to come here. No. He said, look, son, what is it in this land that you wanted I have not given you? I said, there's none, Father. So live for me.
Glory.
He said, I send missionaries to your country. This is the Lord talking to me. I didn't give them job there. I didn't give them any employment. They came to do my work.
They use their resources.
They use their resources to come and do my work in your country. He said, do you even know yourself talking to me? You are a fruit of that ministry of missionary that came to your area. They left this place and came there to preach the gospel. And I know what my area is like. Move farther away from my area, they eat human being there.
That's it.
And people left all this and came there. I said, God, in this land, I must serve you. I must serve you. I'm ready to go to anywhere you want me to go. When I got the job in Churchill, I was a bit hesitant. Because I wasn't, ah, God, it's happening here. And he didn't say anything until I got there. And when I got there, after somebody began to tell me these things, and understanding began to come, I said, oh God, I'm sorry. And the first thing he pointed out to me in the book of Genesis, Abraham was praying. He said, Lord, if you have 10 people in Sodom, will you spare the land? The Lord said, I will spare it because of 10 people who are living there. How many people are in Sodom? Maybe 10,000, let's say 10,000 people. So it means one person is saving 1,000 souls from judgment. So how many people are in this community? I say about 800. So you are standing for 800 souls in this community. Pray for them every day. Go around the city, walk around it, and pray for them every day. What that amounted in this economy, I don't know. But when the time came fully, I knew it is done, it is finished. I said, God, it is finished, I must go back. He himself prompted it, and I began to pray. And he brought me back.
Hallelujah.
And I don't have any reason to look back. But I know that all that was done is done in his name.
Amen.
And his glory alone will follow after it.
Yes, Father.
Now I'm not saying carry your bag tomorrow and go to. I'm not saying that. That is the prayer I prayed. Say, Lord, in this land, account me as missionary. And I know there are still many more places I will go. But there's still many more. Don't mind all this lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with one of my friends in the reserve last night. He was telling me some of the things they are going through. I was almost going to be in tears. You think anything, if you know what they are going through in that place, it's terrible. And I said, we'll continue to pray. So when our sisters start praying about God trusting for men, we're going to come into that. That's an aspect of the will of God that you and me should come into time with. And know that God has saved you and delivered you because he has 1,000 others bounded up to you.
Amen.
Each one of us have thousands.
Amen.
That are going to rejoice on your account.
Amen.
Because God saved you, 1,000 others are going to touch the salvation of God. You may not know those thousands. You may never come across them. But as you continue to live your life and walk with God, those 1,000, wherever they are, God will be touching them.
Hallelujah.
And you'll be coming into the kingdom. So let's just live for him. Let's live for him. Whatever you are looking for in God, whatever, know that he will provide it. Let's go back to him. We must finish that chapter. We're still talking about getting into the will of God. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which he has done, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose, again, to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. That is where you and me come in. To discover the purpose that is tied to your life, your existence. And everything around you is determined inside that purpose. And when you come to terms with that purpose, when you know that there is nothing anymore left for you anywhere but to live for Him and to live according to the time of His purpose, your life is like, becomes like, you know, when a plane has reached the cruise level, what does the pilot do? Autopilot. God put your gear in autopilot. You begin to glide. He has already programmed your destination. When a pilot puts something on an autopilot, it's not just leaving the plane. If a plane is to move from Winnipeg to Toronto and they get to the heights, they put it on that key, on that autopilot, he won't find himself in Calgary. Even if the pilot go to sleep, he won't find it, the plane will go to that place. Now that is men in their fallen states. They know how to do what they call autopilot. And I want you to know, whatever man invents, it's there. God gave it to him. God gave it to him. All the invention that have ever improved man's welfare, man's ability to be productive in God's kingdom, it's just a subset of the brain, the wisdom God gave to him. You put a plane, you just lock it up, and it decided this thing. Now, when you put a plane in an autopilot, does it go into turbulence?
Yes.
Is there going to be turbulence? Yes. So don't be afraid when you are in turbulence. When you lock up into the will of God,
hallelujah.
When your life is locked up into that coordinate of His will, there's going to be turbulence. Some very severe turbulence. But I can guarantee you will get to the destination. You will arrive at the destination. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will arrive at that destination. Oh, that could be shaken. There's going to be turbulence, and all that. It's like at this thing, you hold on.
Hallelujah.
Hold on to Him.
Glory.
You will get to that destination.
That's right.
He's been predestinated.
Hallelujah.
The destination has been chosen not because of you, not because of Him, according to His own purpose. And God delights in His own purpose. His purpose is His pleasure. He fulfills it. And I tell you, let the devil multiply himself 1 billion times over.
What a waste of time.
He cannot affect the purpose of God by one pinch like this. He cannot. He doesn't have. In fact, let me tell you another thing. Whenever the devil seems to, he was only helping to accelerate the program of God.
Hallelujah.
And that is what is going to send him to hell eventually.
That's it.
That is the frustration that will. God, you think God is going to come down and begin to drive the devil away? He is going to die of frustration. That is the truth. He is going to send himself to hell by frustration. Because when he discovered that all he has been doing all this while only serve the interest of God further. So that is why, as a child of God, just know the Father.
Hallelujah.
Cleave to the Father. Enjoy the Father. Love the Father. Worship the Father. Sing unto the Father. Be in communion with the Father. Forget about that devil.
It's not important.
Jesus told the disciple, let's go to the other side. It wasn't the idea of the disciple. But Jesus Christ said, yeah, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. In the mind of Jesus, he already know the coordinate where they are going. So they left from this side of the river and they are going to the other side of the river. He knows where they are going. He already know, because he know what he's going there to meet. He's going to meet that man of gathering. That principality that hold that place. He's going to lose him. So say, let's go to the other side. When they went there, what did he go to do? He went to go and sleep. And the sail was so smooth that he could sleep. Was that the way?
No.
There was turbulence. There was what?
Turbulence.
But was he fretful and awake? Hey, God, but the Bible says he was there sleeping. That thing is still amazing me up to today. How somebody can sleep in the midst of turbulence? No, have you been in a plane and seen turbulence before? Have you been in a plane and been in turbulence? No, let me see somebody who has been in a plane and seen turbulence. Now, did you sleep? Did you sleep? Messi slept. Please. Amen. But that is the way we're supposed to be, actually. And the reason why he slept is, well, I won't say that reason now. Let's move on. Amen. So in the midst of turbulence, he slept. And for him, he's going to get to the other side. Let's say he's the only one in the boat. He wouldn't have worried himself. We don't see him in the other side. He will not come there and say, oh, turbulence, turbulence. But for us, for the disciple, he said, okay, wind, be still, this thing be still. And they went on. Okay, you said, that's Jesus Christ now. Okay, how about Elisha? He woke up early in the morning and the whole field. Somebody mentioned about the chariot of fire, isn't it? Go there, there's another chariot of fire. Hallelujah! How many people get that message, chariot of fire? How many people are still praying about the chariot of fire? Oh yes, I have my chariot of fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just wake up in the morning. I guess maybe he just went out to go and brush his mouth. And then he saw the distance full of all manner of fire. I mean all manner of distance. Chariots and horsemen.
The mountain.
The mountain. He wasn't bothered actually. In fact, he had finished praying and he was going back. Then the little boy came out. And he saw it. He said, hey, come. What is it? Can't you see this? Oh, what did the man of God say?
Open his eyes.
Okay, Lord, open his eyes. Oh, that the Lord will open our eyes to see what belongs to us in his purpose. Oh, that God will open our eyes to see what belongs to us in his will. My people have an adage. They say, when somebody sent you, you don't fear the person they send you to. You fear the person who sent you. You fear the person that sent you. That is the only one to be feared. And that's what God said. It's there in the scripture. He said, when you go into the nations and you see nations mightier and stronger than you, he said, do not be afraid of them, for I am the Lord that sent you. I am the Lord.
Glory, glory, glory.
He said to them, he said, I have sent you into the world. He said, you will tread upon serpent and scorpion, all the power, nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Absolutely nothing.
And on that command they went forth. Nothing can hurt you. From
Amen.
The kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Walk in line with his predestination.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have been put on a divine autopilot. God has determined the end from the beginning.
Oh,
the Bible
yes.
says he called those things that be not as though
they are.
He knew it. He said, declaring the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46. He declared the end. He stand at the end. This is the pathway. He stand at the end. And he looks at the beginning. He starts at the beginning and look at the end. So to him, both beginning and the end, they are in him. So we have nothing to be afraid of. Praise the name of Jesus. How many more time do we have,
children?
Okay, I will just round up now. We're still talking about dwelling in his. We are not talking about the prayer aspect of it. But we come into that. Just want you to get that burden. That look, your life is not a coincidence. It's not, you have been predestinated. You have a destiny determined for you.
Hallelujah.
God's hands. I keep asking, how many of you have the Holy Spirit in you? You know that the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is the mark. That is the mark. The Holy Spirit cannot be in you. And you'll be harassed by any other lesser spirit. It's not possible. It's not possible. Except if you don't know So the enemy thrives on your ignorance. If there's anything you should be afraid of, it's your ignorance. Don't be afraid of the devil. So that is why the greatest will not give me knowledge, understanding. Talk about the mystery of his will. Mystery of his will is brought, that is part of the prayer Paul pray, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened. That we may know the hope of what? Of his calling, of his will. Is that same Ephesians? Go to it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Go back to it. My counsel, okay, let's read this one. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Say what? My counsel shall stand, and what? And I will do my pleasure. My counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. This is God talking.
Glory.
And nothing can alter it. Nothing can change it.
Nothing.
God's counsel must be done in your life.
Amen.
And his pleasure must be fulfilled. Amen. So when you come into this kind of scripture and you read it through, you read it over and over again, you know, my counsel shall stand. And I will do my pleasure. Ordinary men cannot talk like this. Ordinary men cannot. And this word has been there for thousands of years.
Glory.
Nobody has ever come to say any of this word failed.
Oh, my Father.
Was there any of his counsel that I have not seen? Let's take it from the beginning. There was a counsel he spoke about Adam. There was a plan he set for. He said, I will put an enmity between thy seed and thy. He shall bruise your heel and you will bruise his head. That was a plan. Did it stand?
It did.
Was it fulfilled?
Yes, it was.
Did we see the effect of it in our life?
Yes, I do.
He told Pharaoh, he said, let my people go. Mm-hmm. That they may do what? That they may serve. Pharaoh said, no, I won't let you. He said, okay, let's see. Did he bring them out?
He did. By a mighty hand.
Said, I'm going to give you a land. And that land is not an empty land. It's full of nations, mighty nations, principal nations. Said, I'm going to give them to you. Did he do it?
Yes, he did.
Now, when you put all this together, you go back to Genesis, you go to Exodus, you go to the prophet, you go to the disciples, and see all the counsel of God. All the purpose of God, all his will. He said, even somewhere, he said, the thing that are coming now, I declare it before.
Even before they come.
Before they come. He said, the thing that are going to come, I'm telling you now. So that when they come, you will know I'm the one that say it. You will not say, oh, we know it before. Just trying to make you to know that, look, when you are relating to me, God Almighty, you have nothing to be afraid of.
Hallelujah. Glory.
So he called Abraham. He said, by myself have I sworn that in blessing I will bless you. By myself. Because nobody is greater than him. So he swore by himself. Blessing I will bless you. And I want to tell you, beloved brothers and sisters, that your redemption and the blessing associated with your redemption is released upon you on the word of oaths. I wished it together. There was a covenant attached to it. And the word of oath. And that word of oath God sworn by himself. So let me put it in another way so as to get it through. The purpose of God and the will of God for your life is communicated and established based on an oath that God took with Jesus Christ. How many of us are aware of that? Please, if you are not, please be aware of it from today. That you gave your life to Christ. It wasn't your own mind. I want to do this. The Bible says he called them. He chose you. He said, I've chosen you. Your conversion into Christian life is not your own motivation. It's he that put it in your heart. is he that draws you? Is he that established it? And each one he has called, each one he has called, he has a will attached to it. Let's read that and then we'll begin to wrap up. Yes, the book of John. Now, this is part of talking about that will, but we'll just read it and then we will begin to round up. John chapter 6, verse 39 and verse 40. Are we there? What did he say? And this is the Father's will, which he has sent me, that of all which he had given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. Then he repeat himself again. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have what? Everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the last day. This is the will of the Father. So when you come to him, he already determined in the last day he's going to raise you up. So your resurrection, your entering into the fullness of immortality and incorruptibility is already determined. It's already programmed into you from the day you gave your life to Christ. From the day you accept him as your Lord and Savior, he has already programmed, he has already, in the book of Romans, he said, those whom he predestined, what did he do? Let's go there. Let's read that. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I think that should be verse. Romans chapter 8. Yeah, the book of Romans. Oh, okay. Let's go there here. Romans chapter 8. Verse. Okay. From whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate. To be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. That is the destination. That is the final goal. That he might be the firstborn among them, among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also what? Called. And whom he called, then he also would justify. And whom he justified, then he also would glorify. So this is to bring you to that standing in your walk with God. That your life, your existence, your experiences, and all that you go through, they are all part and parcel of the divine program of God. And God is working out his will in your life. Day by day. And so it behoves you and me, therefore, to know about the will of the Father. It behoves, become our responsibility. Because when you know it, you'll be able to align yourself with it. You'll be able to submit to it. But if you don't know it, you can walk cross purpose with it. You can even fight against it. So when he's doing something to achieve his will, you say, no, that's not it. So that's why it's important for you to know it. So whatever experience, whatever thing you can do, you can interpret it in line with his will for you. So it will help you in prayers. It's going to teach you how to pray. When they came to, the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 10, the Bible says they came to him while he was praying. They came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And where did he start from? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Pray in the Father's will. Discover it. Know it for yourself. Relate to it. Accept it. Love it. Enjoy it. So that's Psalm 40. I love that passage. I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is written within my heart. May we delight to do his will. May we first of all know it. May we enter into it. God has a will. Say, God has a will for my life.
God has a will for my life.
My life is precipitated on the will of God. And that will must be done. And I will cooperate with God to see that that will is fulfilled. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's all he's asking for you to cooperate with him. For you to submit to him. For you to say, Lord, not as I will, but as thou willest in every situation. For you to see the big picture and to key yourself into it. And to say, Lord, because this and this and this, I give myself to you in this way. Our sister came to lead us in the prayer for laborers. And he shows many scriptures about how the Lord asks us to pray. The God of harvest. The God of harvest. The Lord of harvest. To send laborers into his field. Now, if you are praying, where do you think he will start from? Where do you think he will start from? It's going to start from you. So it's not just pray, Lord, send somebody else. Say, Lord, here am I. I lay all my ambitions, all my desire, all my, I lay them at your feet. Use me in the field of harvest. We saw the scripture our sister read. We will not bother going into it again. That we should pray the Lord of harvest. And truly, and sister AJ also came and reiterated the same thing. It's the Father's business. And God is about it. There are still many children of God that are still languishing in all the system of the world. Some of them are strong drug addicts. Some of them are prostitutes. But they are members of the throne. They are kingdom children of God. Or you think we just enjoy and then go? They also must be added.
Amen.
And who is going to get them? You and me. You and me. And I will give you this principle in mission. And then we begin to pray. There is no missionary sent from another place to another place except that there is a need in that place. And somebody in that place is crying for that need. And is asking God, send us help. So when you go forth, when the Lord sends you forth, when you get into that place, the first thing you should be asking for, Lord, who in this place initiated my coming here? God, reveal that to me. He might choose to do that. He might choose not to. But when you get there, continue to pray for such an individual. That the Lord God Almighty, the prayer of such an individual will yet be answered. Through you or through other person that God will send. God has sent you and me. It is in the will of God that we go forth and bear fruit. And lead many into the kingdom of God. And the Lord will help us to achieve it. None shall fail in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So that is, we just round it up here. And then we go into prayer. And the prayer is very simple. Lord, open my eyes of understanding. Let me know the purpose for which you have called me. Let me know your will for my life. Let's begin to talk to the Lord. Pray in the Father's will. Making the Father's will your pursuit. Delighting in your heart to do it. Seeking for it and walking in it. Praying it always, desiring it, delighting yourself in it. Delight yourself in the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. I delight to do thy will, O God. Psalm 40 verse 8. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. May you find delight in the doing of the will of God. It makes prayer more interesting, more rewarding. It's not the length of prayers you pray. It's not how long you pray, but how much of that prayer is tied to the will of the Father. And when you know the will of the Father for you, He comes unto you a language of prayer that attaches itself to that will. When you know His will, you enter into a rest. The Sabbath of the Lord set in. You are not free, you are not agitated. You enter into your rest. Prayer becomes a communion with the Father.
Hallelujah, glory, glory, glory.
Say, Father, I will do you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will seek it day by day. Anything that should engage your heart in prayer, the Lord, let me know thy will. Reveal it to me. Cause my heart to flow in that line.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
God has a will for each one of us. And our prayer life must be developed to match that will. Within the scale of that, when you come 100% sure your prayer will be answered.